Translation. Chayavani Muni was very irritable, but since Sakunya had gotten him as her husband, she dealt with him carefully, according to his mood. Knowing his mind, she performed service to him without being bewildered. Repetitively, please. Chayavani Muni was very irritable. But since Sakunya had gotten him as her husband, she dealt with him carefully, according to his mood. Knowing his mind, she performed service to him without being bewildered. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is an indication of the relationship between husband and wife. A great personality like Chayavani Muni has the temperament of always wanting to be in a superior position. Such a person cannot submit to anyone. Therefore, Chayavani Muni had an irritable temperament. His wife Sakunya could understand his attitude, and under the circumstances, she treated him accordingly. Next sentence. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is victory for a woman. Even in the dealings of Lord Krishna with his different queens, it has been seen that although the queens were the daughters of great kings, they placed themselves before Lord Krishna as his maid servants. However great a woman may be, she must place herself before her husband in this way. That is to say, she must be ready to carry out her husband's orders and please him in all circumstances. Then her life will be successful. When the wife becomes as irritable as the husband, their life at home is sure to be disturbed or ultimately completely broken. In the modern day, the wife is never submissive, and therefore home life is broken, even by slight incidents. Either the wife or the husband may take advantage of the divorce laws. According to the Vedic law, however, there is no such thing as divorce laws, and a woman must be trained to be submissive to the will of her husband. Westerners contend that this is a slave mentality for the wife, but factually it is not. It is the tactic by which a woman can conquer the heart of her husband, however irritable or cruel he may be. In this case, we clearly see that although Chayavani Muni was not young, but indeed old enough to be Sakunya's grandfather and was also very irritable, Sakunya, the beautiful young daughter of a king, submitted herself to her old husband and tried to please him in all respects. Thus she was a faithful and chaste wife. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. There's a whole series of verses here about chastity. And it raises very difficult topics for us who are Westerners or modern people. Very difficult points are raised. I was thinking when I was reading this, perhaps this should have been a class for a lady rather than a class for a man. Fortunately, I have some lady statements which I'd like to share with you. Just as it happens, back in 1992, there was two devotees who wrote something about this verse. Hope my computer works. Otherwise, it was stuck.
Oh dear.
No power. I can't reach. Oh, here we go. When I was reading this verse, I thought, what a fantastic verse for a man. And I felt happy reading it. I was reflecting about that. And then I was thinking, actually, this is Vedic culture. If it's true, it's true. You feel satisfied about it. So what man wouldn't want his wife to serve him hand and foot like has been described here? This is what every man dreams of. And interestingly enough, that's what the Vedic culture advocates. Controversial. Here we go. This is by Mulla Prakriti Devi Dasi and Vishaka Devi Dasi in a BTD article in 1992. It's not the whole section, but it's part of it. And they just quoted part of this purport, which I won't reread. For most of us in the modern world, modern Western world, this viewpoint sounds archaic, unattainable, prejudiced, macho, and suffocating. Yet these are the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the summum bonum scripture that is none different from Lord Sri Krishna, the scripture that arose to illuminate this dark age of quarrel as the brilliant sun rises after a long gloomy night. By taking a closer look at this controversial aspect of the Bhagavatams and Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we hope to find how they should apply in practice. It seems that Chayavana Muni arranged for King Sharyati's daughter, Sakunya, to unintentionally offend him. To make amends for this offense, Sakunya became Chayavani Muni's bride. Thus the beautiful, lotus-eyed, innocent, and highly qualified princess in the prime of her life was married to the very old sage. Chayavani Muni was not an attractive mate. His skin hung loosely on his bones. Veins showed all over his body. He was diseased, and he was so much an invalid that he couldn't walk without assistance. Beyond that, he had a difficult, irritable, and domineering personality. What a match. Most of us would at once predict failure for this relationship. An ordinary woman would have been furious, depressed, resentful, and rebellious. With spouses seeming far more compatible, so many of our contemporary marriages have dissolved. But Sakunya, like most women of her time, was far from ordinary by today's standards. It was her superlative qualities that created a glorious marriage. Although her feminine attributes are rarely found today, her example can give us helpful insights for modern marriages. First and foremost, she accepted her situation. Not only did she steer clear of entertaining negative emotions and reactions, but she was satisfied. She belonged to a glorious culture based on Dharma, on following God-given laws and duties. And she was true to those laws and duties. Therefore, she had an inner commitment and happiness that were unshakable. Her happiness came from having understood her relationship with Krishna, with herself, and with others. She was chaste, kind, honest, unselfish, responsible, and high in moral standards. Through sincerity and training, she freed herself from pride, envy, anger, false ego, low self-esteem, and other shortcomings. Sakunya's priority was to somehow make her family life God-conscious and successful. Thus she could be happy in any situation ordained by the Lord. So again, that was a BTD article written by Mulla Prakriti Devi Dasi and Vishakhi Devi Dasi in 1992. So I think it's kind of interesting to hear a lady's perspective. Interestingly enough, there is a topic in the European leaders meeting coming up in autumn, about gender equality. And the organizers of the conference are asking a lady to give a presentation about their view or their comments about some of the controversial statements about men and ladies in the scriptures. Anyway, this one particularly, this is talking about the wife's relationship with the husband. Many very powerful sentences and controversial. Let's look at the first one that comes to mind. Well, many come to mind. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is controversial. This is not how ladies are trained today. In fact, this verse talks about ladies being trained in this way. And there's another series of verses in the seventh canto, which we may get to, that talk about specifically the duties. Because this verse, there's a word here that says anuvritibi. Anuvriti means, well, it means a variety of things, but it means duties. So this isn't going into the duties of a woman. This is talking about her temperament. But it described what is the what a wife should do. And it's interesting because from one perspective, from the way that we're raised in the West, the way that we're raised in modern times, we would say, this is inhumane. We should go and invade your country because you're not giving equal opportunities to men and ladies. This is the political stance that you may hear in the news. This country has a right to be invaded because there's not equality with men and ladies. We may hear similar things around the news. So is it true? Is it true that a wife will be happy by serving her husband, by understanding his mood and pleasing him? I don't know if there's been some studies. Maybe there's been studies. Has there been studies by neutral people? Has there been studies by people with a motivation? I don't know. Would a Hare Krishna be able to do an unmotivated study on this topic from the sociological studies of these things? Our tendency would be to support the scriptures. Are we trained to give unbiased analysis? Anyway, we're trained to accept the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're trained to have faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada. So we have conviction that this is true. But women are not trained this way. Where does a woman's training come from? Now, obviously, this whole class is about women. It's not about anything else. That's the whole topic about it. So I'm going to talk about those things. Excuse me. I was reflecting on this. There are many topics that are the Bhagavatam is verses of all different things. And this, but the whole series of the thing is about the role of a woman. I happen to be chosen for the class. I'm going to speak about these things. So excuse me if I miscommunicate some things. But in our modern, I was reflecting, where is a woman's training given? It's given in the school. Is given in the entertainment industry, is given in the newspapers, is given in the society. But where today do you hear that a woman's role, a woman's training should be how to please the husband? And yet her whole life she's going to be living with a husband. Now, this raises another controversy here, because what it's suggesting, it says here, that basically the wife shouldn't be irritable. Even if the husband's irritable, she can't be irritable, even though he may be an irritable person. It's kind of saying that actually there's two different roles. That the wife, some or other, has to accept the irritability of her husband, and she shouldn't be irritable herself. Very controversial. It's a very controversial topic. Where in today's society do you find a brave man saying such a thing in a public venue? Nowadays, if you say something even controversial like that, I'm sorry, you have to lose your post. Off it. It's not politically acceptable. Fortunately, we're repeating what the Srimad Bhagavatam says, and we have to face these things. Is it true or not? Is it true? Now, it's fascinating because the Bhagavatam highlights everyone's roles, what they should or should not do. And a lot of things are very difficult. When you hear about the life of a brahmana, it's difficult. He has no salary. A brahmana, how does he make his living? He's basically relying on God to provide something. He can't get a salary. Very controversial. Then he describes certain people don't even have a job. They basically give what gifts from what people give in society. So if you're born in a certain situation, there are certain inherent obligations and rules. For example, if you're a cow, you automatically have privilege in all the animal species. Govinda go dvija sura arta hara avatar. Queen Kunti, she prays that the cow, that Lord Krishna, he descends from the spiritual world, avatar, to relieve the distress of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. So if you're a cow, you get some VIP treatment. That Krishna personally comes and it makes sure that you are relieved of your distress. As a cow, you're meant to give milk. And as a bull, you're meant to produce grains. This is your inherent duty. So the Bhagavatam, in a few verses, there's 18,000 verses, some of the verses, it highlights the duties of a lady. This is Varna Ashram. Srila Prabhupada said that every temple should have a Varna Ashram college. So at some point in our society, at some time, they will have to face these difficult issues of how do you train ladies? And this verse is saying that the training for a lady means that a lady has to follow her husband, understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is a victory for women. You can try it. Have a conversation with any lady, any devotee lady, any lady. Very, very difficult. Very difficult to accept this point of view. But we have to be convinced or not whether it's true. If it's not true, we need to know why it's written here. And if it's true, we have to be convinced why it's true and be able to explain it in a way that people can understand. I don't have any studies in front of me. I've heard it said that sometimes ladies have gone this route. They decided, okay, I'm going to be a chaste wife, and I'm going to follow everything my husband says. And some of them expressed their sense of happiness that came from that position. Here's another thing here. Here's another controversial statement. According to the Vedic law, however, there is no such thing as divorce laws, and a woman must be trained to be submissive to the will of her husband. A woman trained to be submissive to the will of her husband. Actually, you can see it requires to be submissiveness requires training. We as devotees, actually, before we become a devotee, anyone who's had military training, you are trained to be submissive to a person with a little line on his arm, like that. One little line. And anyone who's got more lines on his arm or his shoulder, you're more submissive to. If they say, okay, go over here and shoot that person in a war setting, you go there and you shoot that person. You're trained submissively in order to be a soldier. In the life of a brahmachari, you're trained to be submissive. Go and collect some wood. Go begging on the doors of the people's houses. Bring some gifts back. So bring something back. It's a very difficult thing. Go and give out, go and stop people on the streets of wherever and try and tell them the virtues of Krishna consciousness and these holy books. It's very difficult. I don't do that. So we're trained to be submissive. Very hard. Not naturally. It doesn't naturally come. So one has to be trained. So just because you don't feel it doesn't necessarily mean it's not something that you should be trained in. So ladies, women, need to be trained how to be submissive to the husband, according to this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's find another controversial one. In this case, we clearly see that old Chayavani Muni was not young, but indeed old enough to be Sakunya's grandfather, and was also very, very irritable. Sakunya, the beautiful young daughter of a king, submitted herself to her old husband and tried to please him in all respects. Well, it's even tougher to get our head around arranged marriages. That's a whole difficult topic in itself, which we will not get into. Now, I want to go to another point, talk about this, just to kind of add to the intrigue. This is from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 11. And I'm going to stop. I may stop early for questions because it may stimulate some response to this powerful verses. Let me put these glasses on. Okay, I'll read a few verses here from the seventh canto, just to reinforce the dilemma we're in. To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed toward the husband, to be equally well disposed toward the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. A chaste woman must dress nicely and decorate herself with golden ornaments for the pleasure of her husband. Always wearing clean and attractive garments, she should sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids so that the entire house is always pure and clean. She should collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers, and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband, being modest and truthful, controlling her senses, and speaking in sweet words. A chaste woman should engage in the service of her husband with love, according to time and circumstances. I wanted to stop there because there's a word that says, ucha uvachai, according to the desires of her husband, both great and small. Just to add to the dilemma. A chaste woman should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs and should be fully conversant with religious principles. She should speak pleasingly and truthful and should be very careful and always clean and pure. Thus a chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen. The woman who engages in the service of a husband, following strictly in the footsteps of the goddess of fortune, surely returns home back to Godhead with a devotee husband and lives very happily in the Vaikuntha planets. Now listen to this. Just a woman should think of her husband as the Supreme Lord. Similarly, a disciple should think of the spiritual master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A Shudra should think of a Brahmana as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a servant should think of his master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, all of them will automatically become devotees of the Lord. In other words, by thinking this way, all of them will become Krishna conscious. And that's by Srila Madhavacharya. So, for me, this is the key issue. How can anyone follow these things today? How can you do these things? How can any woman submit herself to this type of... We're not prepared for this type of direction from the Bhagavatam. But what this verse is telling us, that if you follow this, if a woman follows this, she'll actually become Krishna conscious. Because she's thinking of, I'm doing this because Krishna wants me to do this. This is the story behind Sakunya. How could you do such a thing? A beautiful girl, maybe she was 13, 14 years old, doesn't say how old she was, but she was a young lady, she wasn't married. Very beautiful young girl, and her father said, okay, can you marry this old man? And it was difficult. It wasn't like just handed her over and said, off you go. It was difficult for him to hand his daughter over. But he handed her over. And she didn't become, you could say, lost by it. She became a glorious person. And as it later on, there was a kind of other aspects became, you know, became a young man and all those kind of things. Now, Chayavanu says here irritable, but kopa means fury. It means anger. And para means very big, great, superior, ultimate, supreme, paramatma, super soul. So he wasn't just irritable, he was also a very angry person. And she was showing him affection. Priniyam means delighting, pleasing, showing affection, satisfied. What an amazing qualification. And think about it, oftentimes if we find an irritable person, we think, okay, now I'm now going to be irritable in return. But her greatness was that even though he was irritating and he was irritable, she still pleased him. This is the great quality that she had. Such power of control of her mind. Another word here is apramata. Pramata means karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred in the Shastras by such terms as pramata, vimukha, and vimudha. So pramata means a madman, a crazy man, deluded, bewildered, maddened by desire, one who cannot control his senses. So she's apramata. She's not crazy. She's not deluded. She's not bewildered. She hasn't lost control of her senses. Apramata, a sane, sober person, alert, sober and unbewildered. So by her acting in this way, she has exalted herself in her service. So this is a fundamental verse from the Bhagavatam. And this verse and purport are verses and purports that you may refer to if the topic of what is a duty of a lady in Krishna consciousness, and then you have to try and explain it. So I'm going to stop there. If anybody has any comments or questions on this point,